We got a full studio, people filling our chairs, and we like to see that. And there are folks from North Platte Public Schools, and the Board of Education held their regular meeting last evening. And we have the board president, Emily Garrick, with us. Emily, welcome in.
Thank you.
How
are
you
doing? Glad to be here. I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Like I mentioned to Commissioner Weems, I got to see the sun pop up. I drive over from Ogallala, and it kind of tells you the days are getting longer. Finally, you know, you're starting to. When I'm driving early, the sun's finally coming up. You know, and usually it's just the sky is getting a little bit lighter. So it's kind of nice to see that for a change. We got the interim superintendent, Dr. Damon McDonald, with us. How you doing, Damon?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good to see you again. And Mr. Reliable over here to my right, Brandon Peterson, Director of Communications. Brandon, how are you?
I'm awesome.
You're awesome.
Awesome.
All right. I like your attire there.
Thank you.
You got your Bulldog checkered blue shirt a little bit there and nice blue tie.
Sporting
there.
The Bulldog blue today.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So we had the BOE regular meeting last evening. First of all, anything out of the special presentation or the foundation report, staff recognitions you wanted to mention from last night's meeting?
Yeah, we did have our Employees of the Month, Mary Beth Kelly and Julie Messersmith, both from Adams Middle School. We have a lot of awesome staff, and we really appreciate all that they do. Mm-hmm. Mary Beth Kelly's always one of the teachers who's first on board to try new things, and it doesn't matter what the content area is. She's always willing to support teachers in other content areas. And
good.
Julie Messersmith makes that library an extremely welcoming place. When I was younger, you didn't always want to go into the school library. You know, you really had it just.
Why didn't you want to go?
Very strict in there,
oh,
you know.
Okay.
And
Things are looser now in the library?
And they have a maker space in there where you can create things, and they get kids excited about reading books, and both great individuals here at North Platte Public Schools.
Good. Good to hear that libraries, I always like seeing, you know, libraries. We haven't outlawed them, even though it seems like we can find everything, all the information on screens now.
True.
I still prefer a good book or magazine over actually going online to read. That's kind of amazing that I do, but that's the way I grew up, so I still prefer that. Emily, talk about the process from your special meeting that you got it down and picked an interim superintendent and how that went. You were telling me just before we went on, it was a six-hour meeting that you had in late March there, and you had three candidates, and you just decided, hey, we're not going to piecemeal this thing. We're doing it all in one fell swoop, right?
Yeah, so the process of hiring a superintendent, I think, is a tough process for a board to navigate, because a lot of us may not have ever had to hire somebody before or interview for that role, and it's six people.
Was that
people.
The case with you? Or
I've got a couple employees that work for our businesses, so I've done a few interviews myself to hire, and I think we've got some board members that have done that, but I think we've got some that maybe haven't, and so coming together through that, you know, first and foremost, it really allowed us as a board to set some goals of what we really wanted to see. We hired NASB as our search firm to help us through that process. And so there were a couple of meetings where you saw those conversations happen prior to the job ever being listed, to really help us hone in on what type of candidate we were looking for.
Defining, it's more than qualifications. You were looking for some other qualities,
yep,
too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we were. And so from there, you know, the position was listed, and NASB brought us, you know, some great candidates. We took some time and reviewed those resumes, made some decisions about the direction that we wanted to head, and we invited three individuals to come and interview with the board. And so that's what you saw there at that special meeting that day.
And you chose Dr. Virginia Moon among the three candidates. What were the things that that you specifically like about her that kind of gave her the edge and eventually the nod of the board to welcome her in as an interim super?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will say the uncomfortable thing for those candidates is those interviews happen in a public meeting, and in our case, they're live streamed, and not very many people have to have their job interview live streamed. And
no, I don't think I'd enjoy that. No.
Yeah, kind of a unique process when you're operating within a school system. And honestly, all three candidates, they made our job difficult in deciding. We had some great options ahead of us. But she just did such a great job of really thinking through things from multiple angles. And what I think we appreciated about Dr. Moon, she has kind of an old school, very direct communication style, which I think will be great for us. She really values relationships, which I think will be good, but she has a strategic approach to things. And so when we start talking about, you know, having to look at decisions made in the future or, you know, where we're at with our strategic plan, some of those things right now, having somebody come in as an interim that has experience across the state in so many capacities, you know, she was an interim at Broken Bow Public Schools and then at Omaha Public Schools. So talk about both ends of a spectrum.
Yeah.
So we're excited for that knowledge base that she's going to bring in. We're excited for that really strategic approach to things, but really well balanced with great communication skills. And I think that'll be great.
And as an interim, it takes some social qualities too, because you know you're not going to be a long-term situation. So you might have strong ideas about certain things, but you realize this is just a year. She's just going to be taking care of things for a year, too. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to tamp down maybe some of those things compared to if you were expecting this to be, you know, a several-year deal, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I think there are kind of two approaches to an interim. Mm-hmm. And our board discussed this in our interviews, and we were pretty transparent with our candidates. You know, one approach to an interim is somebody who's just kind of a placeholder, a peacekeeper, get you through for a year, and you don't make a lot of changes or decisions, that type of thing.
Yep.
But another approach to an interim is recognizing the unique opportunity you have to work with someone with an outside perspective who might come in with some great ideas.
Yeah.
And I actually think Dr. Moon is that type of interim. She made a couple of statements about, you know, she recognizes that an interim has a unique ability to make some kind of unbiased decisions, knowing that they aren't there for the long term and worrying about taking heat for things like that, that might be right, but unpopular. And while I don't see us making a lot of huge changes next year, I do want to be clear about that. I think that we want to keep moving forward with our strategic plan. And so we all like the idea of having somebody who is excited about making progress rather than just staying exactly where we are right now.
And she starts on July 1st?
Yes. Yep. She'll get going. Okay. This summer.
All right. So that will be great. Does she come in earlier to observe anything or, you know, how things go?
So there are some pretty strict rules about that, actually, where she cannot start working prior to that date. I would imagine she will be in our community because she'll need to find, you know, housing arrangements and some things like that. So I'm sure she'll start acclimating herself. But as far as working will not start
until
July
1. Well,
maybe
that's best, too, when, you know, you get acclimated at least to your surroundings, you know, while school is out. But yet there's still always activities going on. So it's like there'll be people in the school camps going on, and I'm sure, and things going on. But
oh, yes. The
but
work
generally
does not
it'll
stop.
Be quieter and a chance to get established there and ramp into the school year. So
you bet.
That's probably a good thing. Yeah, for sure. I noticed a lot of you approved a lot of teaching contracts. That normally happens this time of year. You had several resignations too. Is this a little later than usual for this amount of resignations, or is this pretty normal for April board meeting to have this many?
Yeah, I think it's
counted nine.
I don't think it's abnormal. You know, I just
is this becoming the norm?
It's that time of year. You know,
I thought March was the cutoff to some
resignation. Well, April 15th.
It's April 15th
is the actual cutoff according to state statute when contracts roll over. So there's a time frame within that. Typically between March 15th and April 15th, people are making some decisions in regards to family, career changes, those types of things, and that's the time of year if they're going to do it that it needs to be done. So
does that leave? I mean, do you feel when that happens, or you feel like you're as prepared as you can be to advertise for that? I mean, you always feel like you're ready for if someone quits on a dime. We know what to do and get that advertisement out there and get it relayed so people that may be looking to come to North Platte can have that opportunity.
Yeah, Mr. Mills has done, you know, he's done a great job. He streamlines everything, and, you know, as soon as he gets information or has an opportunity to visit with people, you know, we're able to get that out that same day in regards
that
advertisement. It's an online process in the state of Nebraska, and plus he has a lot of contacts just through his recruitment efforts through, you know, the different institutions, universities that he's able to attend with some career fairs. So
no sweat, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but it certainly helps to get our name out there.
Yeah, and the timing of this, I will say, so where the board only approves contracts and resignations once a month, some of these resignations we've actually had since, like, right after the last board meeting, but they've kind of sat there. So the kind of cool thing is that you also see all of those contracts on there, which means a lot of those resignations, by the time we're approving the resignation, those positions have had the opportunity to be filled. And so that's kind of a little unique, but it's great to be able to see.
So you can start advertising even before the board officially approves it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, as soon as there's a letter of resignation from those, we're able to advertise positions.
Well, you hired a lot of teachers. That's for sure about the same amount as resigned there, so you got a good step there. And then among them, you approved an administrative contract for Dr. Michaela Bruner. And you told me she is going to be the teaching and learning coordinator. What does a teaching and learning coordinator do?
Yes,
going to test you here.
Yeah, no. So, you know, a lot of work within our overall curriculum, overseeing some and adding to. So the coordinator will assist Mrs. Jamie Allen, who will be the teaching and learning coordinator or the director for next year. And I think we approved her contract as well at this meeting. So there'll be more content curriculum based. They'll be working with our PLCs, overseeing our ADCO groups, making sure that our professional development is in place and all of our administrators are receiving that, getting the training that they need, and then making sure that that is infiltrated down into their buildings within their staff and their departments. And it's just working within our PLC process, especially on Wednesdays when we're able to meet as far as departments are concerned with across the district and also within each and everybody's buildings. So it's a big job, and it's really, really focused on that academic piece.
Okay. Good to hear. Also, Damon, you handle the finances for the district. How are we looking? How's the ledger looking?
Yeah, no, everything is looking as it should. We're currently under budget moving forward. Obviously, the receipts and expenditures are always the line item that stay pretty consistent, and the receipts are the line item that isn't very consistent each
fluctuates,
month.
Fluctuates, yep.
And so, you know, when those types of things happen, we look at our interfunds to help balance those out with our general fund each month, and so that's currently where we're at. But we're approaching March, April, and May are typically higher receipt months for the district, and that helps balance out all of those accounts moving forward and keeps our budget balanced and solvent.
School funding, has that been decided for next year, what you're going to get from the state?
Yeah, the state aid. Yeah, they certify that March 1st. Now.
Were you happy when you heard
getting? No, actually, no. There's about a $2 million shortfall from this current year. But
I wondered about that.
Well, and really what that means is just, you know, they made a determination based on our adjusted valuation that the local effort rate is higher, so we have more of an effort rate locally, so our needs aren't as high as they were a year ago, and so that's the driving force behind that state aid formula.
So you put in, obviously, you get the bulk of the stress out of that, right, not having as much from the state and trying to make it work, right?
Yeah, well, so
planning out.
So yeah, we're just looking at those receipts. Obviously, when you're looking at a deficit in state aid from the state, then you're going back looking at local and federal grants, those types of things, and then how does that balance out with your local effort rate?
Because your cap based on your budget. On your levy, right? What you can collect.
Yeah, so
as far
the overall
taxes,
levies. So the max levy is $1.05 right now, and I think we're roughly 93-94 cents.
Mm-hmm. We're significantly on below that.
Okay.
So there's some authority that the board will have some discussions and be able to talk, and you know, when we get into June and July and start looking at those numbers as they come in, and when we know exactly you know, what our overall budget is looking like towards the end of the year, what will be able to be carried forward, and you know, make those determinations in regards to what we are receiving from local, state, and federal, and how we're going to balance that with our local property tax and property tax credits.
And then do the county commissioners approve that tax request then when you make that determination on the what you would like out of the levy? Or
no, that comes directly to the Board of Education.
It's just a Board of Education approval.
They will
basically,
we have a process where we go through our hearings. We allow people to come in and receive some information, and then the Board of Education makes a determination, and once they pass that, then it does go to the county level to say here's what the budget request was for the 26-27 school year.
Well, I think significantly, as you mentioned, Emily, that 94, we've been sitting well under it, you know?
Yeah, well, and historically we were, so this is where it gets a little tricky to balance, you know, pressures that we feel coming from the state in particular about lowering property taxes, but also from our taxpayers. That's something that people here have really asked for. And historically, our levy was around that. That was actually around $1.09 because there was an additional levy lid with QC Puff on there as well, which is a whole other conversation. And so in the last few years, we've decreased that from about $1.09 on average to it was $1.05, then I think 95, and now roughly 93. So we've been doing some work there. But what I learned last week, I attended a budget training workshop and learned a lot more about the formula that the state uses to determine what our state aid is. And right now, the local effort rate is the figure that's put in there is assuming that you have a dollar levy. It's put in as a one. Even though I would say that if every district across the state had a levy of $1, I think the state would be very unhappy with our efforts towards lowering property taxes. And so if your levy is lower than that, you're actually essentially losing funds, like you're being disincentivized for lowering your property taxes because it's also going to lower your state aid from the state. And so it becomes a really tricky balancing act of meeting the needs of your local taxpayers, but also potentially leaving money on the table there from the state.
Yeah, it's complicated, just to kind of use a quick phrase, right?
Yes, it is.
You wanted to mention the maintenance and facilities report a little bit?
Yeah, so Mr. Ayers was there last night and to assist that. So he has been working with, along with myself, with our building level principals to develop what our summer project list would look like. So it's mostly preventative maintenance, some safety maintenance. So we're balancing our needs with some wants out there for our facilities and students. And the board was presented with a spreadsheet in regards to some contracts, potential estimates on contracts. Roofing is always a big one each and every year. And so that's kind of where our focus is right now. And then there's some maintenance in regards to what we can potentially do more in-house with our maintenance requests there. And so we're going to go back and take a look at and prioritize some things and bring that list to the board for the committee of the whole in April. And so they'll have further discussion on that and maybe give us a little directive in regards to what projects we really need to emphasize and want to move forward with and what those dollar amounts look like.
Okay. Of course, you're always setting aside some money into a fund, right?
So we have
expecting to have to do
upgrades the special building fund depreciation are all accounts outside of the general fund that we were able to utilize some of those dollars that would help help these projects and keep us in the forefront and so that we don't get too far behind, especially with our roofs that are coming out of warranty right now.
I wanted to ask you too here about the you have to every year go through a certain set of policies. You're in the 6,000s right now. There were some that stood out to me, but I just want to ask you in general, any things, Emily, you think would people would be interested in that changed or of note? I mean, usually these are things, you know, that the lawyers recommend, right, to be in line and make sure you're in line with state statute and things like that. Was there anything that you think people would be interested in, like artificial intelligence? We have to have policies now on artificial intelligence. I find that interesting.
Yeah. So surprisingly, you know, we have a really robust policy review schedule now. But when we started this, gosh, a couple of years ago now, at the beginning of this rotation, I'm trying to think when we actually started these policy series reviewing. It takes us a while to get through them. There are a lot of them.
Yeah.
And the last time we did this, we had a lot of cleaning up to do. There had kind of been old policies combined with new policies and things mm-hmm. that were contradicting each other. I think we're at a pretty good place now with our policies to where most things are functioning well. We've gotten things cleaned up pretty well. So you'll actually see we did not make any changes to second half of the 6,000 policies. No, I don't know that that's happened yet in our policy review. Okay. Typically, there's at least one or two things that there's a recommendation brought to us, something was missed, a board member has a question, you know, this isn't actually what we're doing, let's adjust it, those types of things. But this second half, a lot of these policies are a little bit newer, or we've had very recent updates
mm-hmm.
Based on legislature, from attorney recommendations, those types of things. And yep. so we actually had not a single thing to change. So we just took a vote to reaffirm those policies.
Yeah, without any changes.
We did have some discussions. There were some things in there that you mentioned, you know, the artificial intelligence yeah. policy, also even the cell phone ban policy mm-hmm. falls within there. And so we did have discussions at our committee of the whole about how are those things going. And it was determined that as they are right now, they're working pretty well. And so we chose to keep everything the same within that policy uh-huh. set, which is not really our norm.
Nobody holding picket signs and saying, bring the cell phones back, right?
Things are, you know, so much better. Every once in a while I get somebody who does request them or yeah. who wishes that they were an option. And I think,
yeah.
you know, they typically come from parents and they have very valid concerns. They, you know, they're concerned about their kiddo's safety or whatever it may be. They have, you know, some special needs and the parent wants to be there for them. But
sure.
overall, I think that the data is really supporting that this is a good thing for our students. Yep. We saw data at North Platte High School at our last committee of the whole meeting that showed that instances of physical aggression that had been documented from this year to last year were less than half this
no
year.
Kidding.
So, you know, a lot of that is Amazing. Attributed to kids not having phones and not being able to text each other and picking fights and starting drama
right.
and, you know, all those things.
Oh, online bullying. Or,
yeah. You know, and at the end of the day, it's yeah. our job to try to keep our children safe and
mm-hmm.
help them focus on learning and do what they're there to do. And so this is a part of that.
Yeah, that's great. Brandon. What you got?
Just a couple short things. Okay. Congratulations to Isabella Mitchell and Connor Robertson, our North Platte High School Bulldogs of the Month, and thanks to them for spending time
Absolutely.
With us at the Board of Education meeting last night. And a few things to keep on the calendar. Obviously, you can see all of our things on our calendar at nppsd.org. But tonight, we have our freshman open house and activity fair from 5:30 to 7 p.m. So if your child is going to be a freshman next year, gives you a chance to see the building and talk to the different coaches and activity sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
On the 21st, we have NPHS Undergraduate Awards, which start at 7:30 p.m. And on the 30th, we have Senior Awards Night at 7:30 p.m. On May 4th, this is a really cool thing that Corey Spitansky has started doing at the high school with Military Signing Day at 2:45. We always recognize people that are going to play sports in college, but I just think this is a great recognition for our students that are deciding to
Good.
Go out
yeah.
and serve their country. And okay. on May 10th, we have graduation, just a hop, skip, mm-hmm. and a jump around the corner.
And all the seniors are counting down the days, as usual. I'll probably start counting them soon as the second semester started. I imagine that way that goes. As soon as it got down below 100, probably, the countdown begins. I want to thank you all for coming into Mugs this morning. We've been speaking with School Board President Emily Gehrig, Dr. Damon McDonald, Finance Director and Interim Superintendent here.
Sure.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
A lot of titles, but we'll take that one.
All right. Yeah, all right. And Brandon Peterson, Director of Communications at North Platte Public Schools. Thank you all. Enjoy the rest of your day and your week, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.